This is Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Cougar Postgame Live is brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Cougar Postgame Live is also brought to you by Delta, official airline of the BYU men's basketball team. Here's your host, Ben Bagley.
And welcome into Cougar Postgame Live, presented by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Speaking of teams you trust, BYU gets the 85-71 win over Oklahoma State. And what an amazing regular season for BYU by the numbers. They finished the season with 22 wins, going 22-9. They finish the season 10-8 with a winning record, plus two in the Big 12 Conference, the toughest basketball conference in all the land. And not just that, they finished eight spots above where they were picked in the preseason poll. So BYU really sliding into the Big 12 and doing it with style and doing it with, as if they belong there the whole time. So congratulations to Mark Pope and the Cougars for a wonderful regular season. Now we turn the page to the postseason. I'll give you some news on that in just a moment. We're going to hit our Big 12 scoreboard, but any moment we may be able to get back to the Marriott Center. Spencer Johnson will be with Mark Durant and Greg Rebel. When that happens, we'll throw it back down to Mark and Greg and Spencer Johnson for that. But let's look at the Big 12 scoreboard. 14th ranked Kansas finishing the season not on a good note for Kansas. They lose three of their last four games, this one included, falling 76-46, a 30-point loss at top-ranked Houston. Houston's really good. I didn't realize that they were 30 points better than Kansas good. Houston wins the Big 12 championship outright with that win. Jamal Sheed had himself a game with 13 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists for the Cougars. They're going to be a tough out in Kansas City next week. Kansas going into Kansas City may be a little hurt. Hunter Dickinson had 11 points but left the game in the second half with what's being reported as a dislocated right shoulder, which puts him a bit of a question mark for next week in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. Something to watch as we turn to the page to tournament play. Sixth-ranked Iowa State gets a 58-65 Kansas State gets a 65-58 upset over sixth-ranked Iowa State. Arthur Kaluma scores 23 and grabs 7 boards in the win to lead the Wildcats over the sixth-ranked Cyclones. Texas Tech gets a 10-point win over Baylor, two upsets in the top 25 in the Big 12 tonight. They win 78-68. Pop Isaacs leads the Red Raiders with 20 points and 5 boards in the upset. Oklahoma and Texas in a Red River rivalry. Texas gets a 94-80 win over Oklahoma. Therese Hunter scores 30 for the Longhorns in the win at home. West Virginia and Cincinnati, that game at Cincinnati, and they blew up the Mountaineers 92-56. Dan Skilling Jr. scores 17 points in the blowout in the last game of the Big 12 slate this evening as they wrap up the regular season. UCF gets a 2-point victory over TCU at TCU, 79-77. Darius Johnson, 33 points, 9 rebounds in the 2-point road win. Now, looking ahead to the Big 12 conference tournament next week, BYU, officially the 5 seed. They will play the winner of Tuesday's 10:30 a.m. game, which will see UCF face Oklahoma State in the 12:13 game. So the chance that BYU seizes Oklahoma State team again. So that game will be Tuesday at 10:30 for BYU fans to watch. That's 10:30 Mountain a.m. For BYU fans to watch to see who the Cougars will face on Wednesday. And Wednesday, the Cougars will play in the morning game again at 10:30 a.m. Mountain right here on the new skin BYU Sports Network, and they'll face the winner of that Oklahoma State UCF game. So Big 12 conference play right around the corner. Be sure to listen to it all right here on the new skin BYU Sports Network. Speaking of a win, fans, remember when the Cougars win, you win with Papa John's Pizza. Use the online promo code BYU50 on the app or at papajohns.com. Monday and receive 50% off of pizza. That's right, Monday you can get 50% off pizza. This offer is good at any Utah location Monday only. Looking at the final seedings for the Big 12 Conference Tournament, we mentioned BYU at the 5. You know UCF at the 12 and 13th seed is Oklahoma State. Is there the winner of that game will face BYU on Wednesday. Houston as the outright champ gets the number one seed. Iowa State comes in at this two seed. Baylor will be the three seed. Texas Tech is the four seed. Then BYU, then Kansas. Anybody on their bingo card have BYU finishing the season ahead of Kansas? Anyone? No, I didn't think so. Seven seed Texas, six seed TCU, 9 seed Oklahoma, 10 seed will be Kansas State, 11 seed Cincinnati, we mentioned UCF at 12, Oklahoma State at 13, and then West Virginia bringing up the end of the conference with the 14 seed for the Mountaineers. Coming up next, we'll look at the top 25 scoreboard and get you back to the Marriott Center as well. Your final score tonight, BYU big winners, 85-71. Huge second half for the Cougars. More Cougar postgame live coming your way next on the new skin BYU Sports Network.
Here's Ben Bagley with more Big O Tires Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back to Cougar Postgame Live, presented by Big O Tires. BYU gets a victory in the final home game of the regular season. And to close out the regular season, BYU wins 85-71 over Oklahoma State. Big night for Spencer Johnson, 14 points, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3 for Spencer Johnson on senior night, and Jackson Robinson also 17 points, 7 of 12 for shooting. Only 1 of 5 for 3, but a big night for Jackson Robinson, 5 rebounds to go along with that for Jackson Robinson on his senior night. The Cougars were led by Fusini Traore. He had 19 points on 8 of 11 shooting, so a big night for Fus. Including a nice little technical at the end of the game. That block was clean, by the way. I'm just going to say it. It is clean. I think that was a justified technical for Foose on that end. Let's take a look at the top 25 scoreboard, then we'll get back to some stats. We'll get you back to the Marriott Center, where Greg and Mark are standing by. You'll hear some interviews post-game with Coach Pope and a couple of players. So one top 25 game still in action. That game is in the second half with 14:40 left, and it's USC's up 44-37 on fifth-ranked Arizona, so the Trojans looking to get an upset over Arizona. Locally, 22nd-ranked Utah State, your outright Mountain West Conference champions, as they beat New Mexico 87-85 in a close one in the Spectrum up in Logan. Checking the rest of your top 25 scoreboard, number two, UConn gets a 74-60 win over Providence, that game on the road. 15th-ranked Kentucky, they go on the road at 4th-ranked Tennessee in the SEC, and they get a 4-point win. Kentucky upsets the Volunteers 85-81. 7th-ranked North Carolina against 9th-ranked Duke, that game at Cameron Indoor, and it was crazy. And, by the way, the Tar Heels get the upset over they hold court. 7th-ranked North Carolina gets an 84-79 victory at Duke. So nice win by the Tar Heels there. 8th-ranked Marquette goes on the road to get an 86-80 victory over Xavier. 10th-ranked Creighton gets a 2-point win over Villanova, 69-67. In the SEC, 13th-ranked Auburn holds home court, 92-78 over Georgia. Also in the SEC, this is a close one in overtime. 16th-ranked Alabama gets a 92-88 win over Arkansas. Also in overtime, also in the SEC, 17th-ranked South Carolina goes to Mississippi State and gets a 93-89 OT victory there. And one final top 25 score to keep you appraised of. That's also a final. Tulsa upsets 24th-ranked South Florida. At the half, Mark Durant looked into his crystal ball and said BYU would do better from the three-point line in that second half because they were going for the East basket. Mark Durant knows of what he talks about, folks. First half, not great from three for the Cougars. Obviously, we talked about it at halftime. Only 4 of 19, 21% in the half. They come out on a 13-0 run in the second half with some three-pointers mixed in there, and they go 8 of 12 for 67% in the second half. So next time you're looking at it, the East basket is the basket for BYU to score on and play well. So good job by Mark Durant for realizing that. That's the analyst that you get with Mark Durant. He is top of the rung. After the break, speaking of Mark, we'll send you back to Mark and Greg at the Marriott Center for more Cougar Post Game Live. BYU gets the win, finishes in fifth in the Big 12 Conference, heading into conference tournament next week. 85-71 is the final. BYU over Oklahoma State, and you heard it right here on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Here's Greg Wrubell with more Big O Tires Cougar Post Game Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
All right, back courtside, Greg Wrubell and Mark Durant visiting with you. We'll be standing by waiting for Spencer Johnson. Spencer will be our guest on this senior night. Departing senior Spencer had a double-double, 14 and 10 with 5 assists. So Spencer coming up in just a little bit. Mark, in BYU's first year in the Big 12, the Cougs were picked by the coaches to finish 13th. Now let's back up to the rationale there. You got a team in BYU that had a losing record in its last year in the West Coast Conference. Now, they were bringing a lot of those players back, but they were bringing players back from a team that had a losing record in the West Coast Conference.
Yeah.
Now they were joining the best conference, college basketball. So we shouldn't be too hard on the coaches for picking BYU 13th. They were going by what they thought they had in terms of history and performance. But, man, did BYU outperform those expectations. And not just the coaches' expectations, but nationally and otherwise. Nobody could have foreseen a fifth-place finish in the Big 12. And the Cougs, Mark, there are a couple of shots and a couple of lost second half leads from having a double bye and being a top three, top two, perhaps potential conference champion contention type team this year. But BYU ends up tied with Kansas for fifth place in the Big 12 in its first year. Houston 15-3. And by the way, Houston, which was picked to finish second, I mean, they were expected to do well. And they exceeded second by going to first and winning the league by two games. 15-3, Kansas wins it. Then Iowa State, second, two games back, 13-5. Two more games back to Baylor and Texas Tech. They tie for third. But in a tie for fifth, BYU and vaunted KU. Kansas had a struggle of a Big 12 season. It's true. They went 2-7 in league away from home, did the Jayhawks. BYU beat them, though, on their home floor. Only one team beat Kansas at home this year, and it was BYU. If you could finish tied with Kansas and be seated ahead of Kansas going into your conference tournament, you've had a heck of a year by any and every measure.
They certainly have had a heck of a year, and everybody above them they've beaten except for Houston, which they were in the game, had a chance
had
at
a
the
shot.
End of that game.
Absolutely.
And they're the number one team in the country. So this team belongs. They are a top 20, if not top 10 team, and they can beat anybody in the country. I don't think anyone questions that. Not a lot of things can happen, but this team has overperformed. Well, maybe not even overperformed. They've just performed well. And you talk about last year's team. Well, credit the guys. Credit Noah Waterman for working hard and getting better. And Jackson Robinson, everybody got better, and they got better together. Credit the guys. Credit Spencer Johnson for coming back. There's some question whether he'd even come back this year. And they got older together. They got better together. And then credit the coaching staff, Greg, a really radical approach to the game, knowing that they had to do something different to be different in the Big 12, to compete in Big 12, shooting 30 to 40 threes a game. And that really threw a lot of Big 12 teams for a loop. And they did it well. And I just think a great, great job by Coach Mark Pope and the guys. I mean, they have deserved every good thing that's come their way. And now I just hope that the month of March has many, many more good things, and they put themselves in a position and the type of team that could do some special things. But regardless of what happens going forward, they had an amazing season and regular and Big 12 conference season. Just a terrific, terrific performance from these guys.
And, Mark, how many years recently have we been late in the season in those WCC campaigns, you know, watching every result and watching the bubble and seeing it shrink or seeing it expand and wondering where BYU was or if they were going to get to the tournament, you know, how, you know, it's probably going to be at a lower seed. And this year, this BYU team got locked early. And now the only question now is you know, is it a 4? Is it a 5? Is it a 6? I think BYU's probably in that range.
Yes.
They might even go as high as a 3 if they go on some kind of run in Kansas City. If they were to win a couple 3 games, they might even go better than that. But if you could be a 4 to a 6 seed in your first year in the Big 12 Conference, you would have done so much more than anybody thought you could do. And it also brings forward the notion of how this conference help make this team better. Yes, they were better, but I think they were better because of who they were playing night in, night out. And the WCC was such a high risk, low reward league for BYU. You'd have a couple games where it would help you, but every other game would hurt you. Even if you win, it wouldn't help you a lot, and it would kill you if you lost it. And in the Big 12, so little is risk, and so much is reward.
Right.
And that's what BYU got this year by playing in this conference.
And I think they got better as they went. I mean, the first game home to Cincinnati, probably a game you look back on now that BYU should win. And I think if they played it again, they probably would win. But they got introduced to the Big 12 and what that meant, I think, in that first game. And they're like, whoa, well, yeah, we got to step up our game a little bit. Went on the road and performed pretty well, but lost at Baylor. And but then they kind of figured it out. Yeah, they had some bumps. Obviously, Iowa State, and they've lost some. Yeah, that's going to happen to every team in the Big 12. But they got better and better and have become a team. I don't think anybody wants to face BYU in the Big 12 tournament.
Speaking of the Big 12 tournament, brackets out. And it will begin on Tuesday morning, 10:30 Mountain Time, UCF and Oklahoma State. And BYU fans will be watching that game because from that game comes BYU's first opponent in Kansas City. The team BYU just faced, Oklahoma State, is the 13 seed. Will take on the number 12, UCF, at 10:30 Mountain Time on Tuesday. Watch that on the Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Then at 1 o'clock, it'll be Cincinnati, the 11 seed, taking on West Virginia, the 14 seed. And that'll be a 1 o'clock Mountain Time tip. Again, Big 12 Now on ESPN+. BYU will tip off tournament play Wednesday, March 13th at 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time. So for our listeners here in northern Utah, it'll be a 9:30 pregame with the 10:30 tip. And notably, we will not be on Sirius XM 143 BYU Radio. We will be on KSL 102.7 FM, 1160 AM. We will be on BYU's Radio's app and BYURadio.org. And we will be on the Big 12's Sirius XM satellite channels, but not on 143. So keep that in mind due to satellite restrictions and rights owned by the Big 12. So BYU starts Wednesday, March 13th, 10:30 AM Mountain against either UCF or Oklahoma State. And that game will be on either ESPN or ESPN2. So big TV coverage for BYU in either UCF and OSU or OSU on Wednesday morning. Then comes the 8-9 game, TCU and Oklahoma. That'll be at 1 Mountain Time. Later session, number 7 Texas, number 10 Kansas State, and the nightcap is Kansas against the winner of the Cincy-West Virginia game. And seeing as Cincy beat West Virginia by 36 today, let's say the Bearcats go into the game against KU, that's going to be no cakewalk for the Jayhawks because of the way they've played to end the year and the Hunter Dickinson injury and Aziz Bandego's presence.
Yeah.
Watch that. I mean, I think
Cincinnati scares me.
Yeah, the one-and-done alert is out for Kansas right now because of how they finished. You lose by 30, and you're not competitive against Houston, and you lose Dickinson. There are rumblings right now that, you know, this is just going the wrong way at the wrong time of year for KU because they've been a top-10 team all year, but have dropped out of the top 10 and now might be expected to maybe lose their first or second game in Kansas City now based on how things have gone. So that's Wednesday. Thursday is where the double bye comes into play, and these teams will all take byes into the quarterfinals on Thursday. Number 4, Texas Tech, awaits the winner of BYU's game on Wednesday.
So that's a good line for BYU.
Okay, so yeah. BYU went 0-1 against Texas Tech, but had a commanding 17-point lead in Lubbock, would get the Red Raiders if the Cougars get past their game on Wednesday. That would again be the early game. So BYU facing the prospect of back-to-back 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time tips on both Wednesday and Thursday. The second game of the early session, number 1 Houston, which would be on BYU's side of the bracket, against the winner of TCU and Oklahoma. Late session Thursday, number 2 Iowa State against the winner of Texas and Kansas State, and then nightcap on Thursday, number 3 Baylor against the winner of KU and then Cincy or West Virginia. Mark, we bring up the early tip time phenomenon. BYU played 3 games this year with noon Mountain Time tips, so noon body clock tips. The win over Texas here, outstanding performance by BYU in the out early game, but the last 2 early games both came on the road in Manhattan, in Stillwater, 2 games in which BYU never led. So 1 win, 2 losses in the early tip time games for BYU, and they'll be even earlier, 90 minutes earlier on the body clock at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday and maybe even Thursday. Of note, Mark, in those early games, BYU did not have game day shoot-arounds, which is the routine. And starting even earlier, I can't imagine they would take the shoot around this time, or maybe they won't. We'll talk with Coach Mark Pope about what the plan might be for those early games. But you've got to be up in every possible way and ready to go. It'll be a weird vibe maybe in the gym the first game. It's an early morning. How many folks will be there?
Yeah.
It'll feel a lot of ways like those NCAA tournament games where you get the first session. Either way, an important opportunity for BYU to respond to an interesting setup here in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, T-Mobile Arena there, but with that early game, and I don't know, you know, OSU, if it's OSU or UCF, I can't imagine, you know, they didn't have a great season and they're not exactly next door. So I don't know how many fans will be there. So that'll be an interesting dynamic to get yourself up for a game where you're used to these full big arenas, and maybe it will be full. I don't know what to expect there, but that'll be a real challenge for BYU. But I think just identifying it and knowing that has been a problem, maybe will be something that, you know, these guys are smart. They can figure things out, and maybe that'll be something that they can address and have a better performance early on in the day.
All right, Spencer Johnson is going to be walking our way here in a second. We're going to get Spencer on the headset in just a moment. But that is the setup for the conference tournament. We can tell you that the setup in Kansas City is spectacular. It is at the T-Mobile Center, great building. They've already had the women's games going. It's going to be a great building in which to be for those days in Kansas City. We hope it's a longer stay for us in Kansas City as it starts next week, Wednesday morning, and then Thursday morning should BYU get past the opener. And as we say goodbye to Dave Hunsiker, the Oklahoma State play-by-play man, we're reminded of just how great the announcer crews have been in this league to work with and get to know, and that's a great thing about the Big 12 as well. Well, as noted, Spencer Johnson was making his way to the headset, and Spencer is popping on the headset on this senior night. One of BYU's departing seniors goes out in style. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, third career double-double. What a way to begin senior night, bringing out Joey Spencer Jr. onto the floor in your arms, and then you get to end it with a win and a winning Big 12 record and a 5 seed in KC and a 6-game home win streak and a sellout crowd. And wow, this is a night, Spencer, you won't soon forget.
Man, that was special. That was so special. That's stuff you dream about, and I don't even know if my dreams were that good. You know, just have so much love for everyone here that supported us and been with us these last 4 years. And man, it was what a season.
We have so much love for Spencer Johnson because win or lose, when he pops on the headset, you're going to get just a classy guy.
He's taken his share of the loss.
He's taken a few L interviews in his day, but so much more fun when this is the situation. And we're just happy for you and happy for the career you've had because it took you different places and you had different decisions to make and choices to follow. And I know you ended up at the right place, and I know you feel the same way, and so to end it this way is special, but it's also not the ending, too, which is the best thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best thing about it is we still got games to play, and they're high-level games. Like, we're going to go play in the Big 12 tournament against all these teams we've already played, hopefully, you know, be there for a while, and then we got this NCAA tournament, which I'm so excited to get back to. Like, we got some noise to make.
You go into the tournament in Kansas City as the 5 seed, and but for the record, it's a higher seed than Kansas. Okay, now KU's picked to win this league before the season for a lot of good reasons. And, yeah, it wasn't their best year. But, hey, if you end up tied in the league standings, which you were with KU, and go in seeded ahead, you've had a heck of a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you can't sum it up just how incredible it's been. And the crazy thing is when we go to this conference tournament, we're going to play a really, really good team. And then we're going to beat them, and then we're going to play another really, really good team. So no nights off.
Or mornings off because you're starting early next week.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, get some sleep. Good luck with that with your baby. listen, I'm so happy for you. What a game. You do a lot of things aside from scoring, obviously, but you and Trevin and Dallin, only 2 points between the three of you in the first half. Was there a thought that I've got to, you know, contribute a little, get the offense going a little bit? Because the first shot of the second half was you hit the big three. I mean, was that in your mind? I just got to get, with you three guys, really, just get that going. And, boy, did you ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us it's like, hey, we want to stay on our toes and stay confident. And we're going to shoot the same shots that we always take. So when we shoot really confidently, we expect it to go in. And it felt really good to come out in the beginning of the second half and hit that shot. And it was like, okay, we're good.
Spencer's been joined by Izzy, here courtside. What a few weeks it's been for you as a family. How's little Joey been, by the way?
He's doing really well. He's like 2 weeks old. We brought him in for an appointment.
2 weeks and 2 days.
2 weeks and 2 days. We brought him in for his checkup, and he was like over a pound. He had gained over a pound in that time, so he's going to be a big boy.
Carb loading early, evidently, yeah. In the Johnson home.
I did too in the last couple of weeks.
we might have Kalani calling us up here actually soon.
All right. What did turn the – or it wasn't a bad first half. You led by three, but a great second half for you guys. What was maybe the one of the talking points in the break for you guys tonight?
One thing we really emphasized was like, hey, we have to guard in transition because they couldn't guard us in transition. So we knew that, hey, if we scored the ball, we had to like sprint back because that was really the only way they were getting going besides number 12, you know. So if that was one thing that we fixed, that kind of got us feeling good and then got us rolling.
The individual talent level in this league, you've seen some guys go off, get hot, and Small goes for 29 after the break. Tip of cap, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you saw some of the shots he was hitting. Like, he was hitting step-back fadeaways over Foose, over Ali, over us, and I mean, tip your hat. Like, he was hitting some tough ones.
Okay, Mark Pope, since he's been the head coach, his teams are now 33-13 after losses. This was a bounce-back game for you guys.
Yeah.
What happened midweek in Ames? Where did you kind of compartmentalize that, and how important was it to rebound the way you did, which you've been really good at as a team?
Yeah, it was huge. You know, we walked away from that loss at Iowa State feeling that, man, we're the better team. Like, we're better than them. They just happened to have a better night that night, or actually a better second half, you know? So while it hurt to lose, we were still encouraged. Like, when we see him again, we know we're going to take care of him. And I think that was a general attitude of the whole team was like, hey, win or lose a game, like, we're really, really good. And we've done here at BYU this year what hasn't been done in a really long time at BYU. So when we just have to stick with what we do, and it's proven to be successful.
Spencer, you've gotten a little notoriety for being a little bit older, and you have been around for a while, and you're almost like a player coach out there on the floor. But I'm just curious, if you've seen teams over the years, what do you see about this team? You mentioned doing something that hasn't been done in a long time. What is it about this team that's allowing you guys to perform at such a high level?
It's just how together we are. Like, I was just asked the question, if you could sum up this team in one word, what would it be? And I said together. Like, this team is more involved in each other's lives and, you know, what's going on, who we're dating, what classes we're in. We all have these inside jokes and we laugh and we all have a really good time. So, you know, I would say that's been the biggest thing is just how together this team is, how much we communicate with each other, and just that's really been special.
You're permanently dating, by the way.
Yeah. I'm locked down. I got my eternal one right here.
You could have used a flak jacket tonight a couple times.
That's true.
You took a couple of good hits out there this evening. And the couple they wanted to look at the monitor, too, to make sure, you know, nothing too over the line went on out there. How you feeling?
I'm great, man. That's how it goes.
Okay, as we let you go, this conference is such a grind. Mm-hmm. And it was a step up from where you were before, admittedly. What made you guys so competitive in the best basketball conference in the country?
I think it was just I say this again, how together we were. We felt like coming into this year that people were kind of counting us out. And that, I think, motivated us a lot where it was like, hey, you know, they may count us out, but we know how good we are. Like, we had played some really good teams, and we had played together for a while, and we're like, we are really good. So coming into this thing, it's okay if they count us out because we got a lot to prove.
You played three games this year with early tips, and these are noon Mountain Time tips we're talking about. Win over Texas and a couple of losses at Kansas State and Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
You now get one or maybe two 10:30 a.m. body clock times here in Kansas City. What can you take, if anything, from those early tips? Is there anything to that notion of what happens early in a day, and can you take anything from it into next week? Hopefully.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we get going during the season, we start out with two-a-days. Every year that I've been here, two-a-days, and the practice starts at 6 a.m. So a lot of the time you're up at like 4:50 because you got to get there early. You got to get your body right, and then we have practice later in the afternoon. And it's, you know, during the course of the year, practice will change sometimes. So the nice thing is I feel like no matter what time of day it is, we've been conditioned enough to like, hey, it's time to turn it on and it's time to turn it off. And you know, coming up to a game, doesn't matter what time it is, we can turn it on.
Okay, how fired up do you get for conference tournament play in a big city in a great mm-hmm. venue like the one you're going to see in Kansas City, knowing that even beyond that, you're locked into a really good situation, meaning you're going to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, super excited. I mean, we still have a lot left to prove. We still have a lot left. We, you know, we got to go make some noise there, which we can. And mostly what I'm excited about is get some Kansas City barbecue. hopefully they bring that to the hotel for us.
Well, with these early games, hopefully you'll get a win and then have a nice long day to enjoy the food and get
yes.
some rest for the next outing, and certainly no better place to do it than in Kansas City. Well, this is it for your home career, so I guess we should let you give a final word to Cougar Nation about another sellout crowd and what it's like to play in front of a full house on a night like this as your lasting Marriott Center memory.
Yeah. Oh, it was special, man. I got a moment after the game. I took the mic and kind of talked to the crowd here, but it was so special to have everyone here, have my wife and our son and all of our family here, and then just to see how many people have been with us through this journey and have supported us and just loved us. You know, it's been incredible. So we're super grateful for all of them and for all the people, you know, out there listening. Just, you know, we love you and we're so thankful for you.
Well, Mark and I are among your biggest fans, and we look forward to seeing you next week in Kansas City and beyond. Thank you, Spencer.
Let's go. Thank you.
That is Spencer Johnson. This is BYU Basketball on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
All right, backcourt side, Greg and Mark with you. The other Mark, Mark Pope, is still to come as we get underway with the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show. But let's start with the other locker room and the other press conference. Mike Boynton, head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, spoke to the press a short time ago. By the way, Coach Boynton, so cool. Not every head coach wants to do pregame interviews with the opposing radio, but I always ask, and he's been one of those guys that said absolutely. So I got to talk to him twice this year before games. Really cool of him to do that.
Yeah, it's rare, like you said, and I always respect guys that, you know, treat everybody like that and are willing to help. So, yeah, I think the world of him.
Let's hear what Coach Boynton had to say to the assembled media a short time ago. His team falls to BYU final score 85-71 here at the Marriott Center.
Obviously, they play really well today, shot the ball, you know, the way they're capable of. And obviously, they're capable of even more damage from three than they did tonight. Though we did a pretty good job in the first half of staying connected to the shooters. Really, I think at halftime, if I remember correctly, their four threes came from their two big guys, Waterman and Khalifa. And in the second half, obviously, they got off to a really good start and I think fed the momentum. And, you know, we got a bunch of 18-year-olds running around here, and they got really hard really fast. But I'm proud of the way they continue to compete. Got it within, I think, 10 at some point, but just couldn't get over the hump. And obviously, playing against a really, really good team on their home floor, you can't get yourself down that much.
You know, looking at the second half, Javon obviously just had an incredible second half. He had 29 of your 42 points as a team. What did you see from him that he just really opened up and was able to put the team on his back to at least give you guys a chance down the stretch?
Yeah, I thought his aggressiveness is what, you know, we really needed. You know, obviously we'd like to play better defense. But because we didn't do that, we needed somebody to kind of take the lead to try to keep up with him offensively. And he's our most capable guy in terms of being able to make plays, not for just himself, but for his teammates as well. But they weren't really helping a whole lot in pick and roll, so he got some clean looks. But we need him to continue to be aggressive if we're going to continue our season next week.
You mentioned you were able to kind of stay connected and shutting down the shooters in the first half. Second half, they shot 69%. Was it the fact that they made all those three-pointers early that was kind of the killer defensively and kind of set you guys on your heels defensively?
Yeah, I mean, we had some blown coverages that we really didn't have in the first half. I think the first three was on the dribble handoff that we kind of went under. You don't go under on shooters. And I can't remember which one got a wide open three to start the half. And that really, I think, kind of broke the ice for them. You know, because I'm sure in their minds, because we defended them from three pretty well when we played them a couple weeks ago at our place. But that kind of broke the ice, got him an easy one. We helped out of the corner one time. And when they went to Traore, he really kept us off balance because they started going inside to him. And, you know, you got to figure out if you're going to single coverage him. And he's really hard to guard one-on-one. If you don't guard him one-on-one, then you're leaving somebody open that's probably a 40% three-point shooter. So I thought the start of the half was really, really critical to us putting ourselves in a tough spot.
Well, what's kind of that key for you guys going into the first game of the Big 12 tournament?
I think it's really simple. I mean, the urgency to the next time we lose, our season's over. It's quite honestly, that's where we are. You know, at the moment we feel like we feel now after a game again, it's over. So if we want to continue to have a chance to put the uniform on again and have another day together as a group, particularly with our seniors, we need to make sure we play with the level of urgency necessary to give ourselves the best chance to win.
Anybody else?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that is Mike Boynton, head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And BYU defeats his team by a final score of 85-71 tonight here at the Marriott Center. Six consecutive home wins for BYU. So before we get Coach Pope on here in a moment, I thought we'd revisit the Big 12 preseason poll where coaches picked teams to finish and where teams actually did finish. So Kansas picked to win the league, finished tied for fifth.
Shocker.
Okay, yeah, so finished tied for fifth. So let's say they were minus four on that one. Houston picked to finish second, finished first, so plus one. Texas finished to finish third, finished tied for seventh, so minus four.
Playing much better, though, now, I think.
Yes, they
Texas
are.
Is dangerous.
I don't know what the Dylan Dessou situation is. I got to say I didn't follow up on that too much, but I know he got hurt second to last game. Not sure if he played today or not.
I can
find that out really quickly because he played and scored 16. That wasn't too bad. Baylor picked to finish fourth, finished third, so a plus one. TCU picked to finish fifth, finished seventh, minus two. K-State sixth preseason, finished ninth, minus three. Iowa State seventh in the preseason, picked second. They finished second, a plus five. Texas Tech was a plus five. They went from eighth to third. West Virginia was a minus four. They go from ninth preseason, finished 13th. Oklahoma State minus three, picked 10th, finished 13th. Cincy was the only team that finished where they said they would, at 11th. Oklahoma picked 12th, finished 9th, plus three. Here's the big mover. BYU picked to finish 13th, finishes 5th, plus eight. The biggest mover in the Big 12 this year was BYU. And then UCF picked to finish 14th, finished tied for 11th. So, the biggest surprise story of the year was the BYU Cougars. There's no doubt from that as we just ran through those standings. Hey, it's Mark Pope, the head coach of the Cougars, popping on the headset. It's the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show. For the final time here at the Marriott Center, we get to say congratulations to you and the boys, Coach Pope.
I'm so sad.
But happy at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so sad. Like, this building is so special, and it's always spectacular, and it's been so special to us all year long. And these seniors have been so incredible for us and so special. It is bittersweet that we don't get to do this in this building together again until next year. And we have a lot of basketball left. We got all the best basketball coming up. But I'm telling you guys, we're blessed beyond imagination to be able to play in this building in front of this fan base. I just thought about all the places around the country that, you know, have 2,000 or 4,000 or 6,000 fans in here for senior night, and for this place to be sold out with all of our fans celebrating what these guys have done this year is just, we're grateful, just full of gratitude.
Third consecutive sellout, fourth in Big 12 play, fifth on the year. BYU led the Big 12 in conference game home attendance, finished second to KU in overall home attendance this season, finished the year on a six-game home win streak. The home record was 60-2 on the year overall, and these fans got a senior night send-off worthy of a sellout crowd as Spencer Johnson, among the seniors you said goodbye to tonight, at least for home games, goes 14-10 with five assists, his third career double-double.
Yeah, and he's been amazing. And I'm telling you, my favorite moment of the whole night was, are you leaving? Oh, I love you. Okay. Hey, yeah, I didn't even get a hug.
All right, Coach Pope's got daughters that are going places.
All right. One of my favorite moments the whole night was we come out of halftime and it's a 3-point game and we're I loved our energy, I loved our defensive focus. We just were a little sped up. You know, we shot poorly in the first half, 4 for 19, just like Trevin Nell did against TCU, we ran a wide two action. And they guarded it well with Travis, so Spence came flying off as a secondary option off the second side stagger, and ball fakes, and they go under, and he bangs a three, and I just walked down the sideline and kind of yelled at our guys. I'm like, that's what seniors do. That's what seniors do. You earn that, actually, and you earn that from being at Weber State and things going bad for a semester, and then a semester at UVU and things going bad, and then having the humility and the self-confidence to go to Slick and prove yourself all over again, and then come here in your first year here, battle just to earn minutes only on the defensive end, and kind of, and then have 2 years where you're playing great, but you don't ever get to start, and then finally working in the starting lineup, and then in your senior game when the team is a little shaky, you're the guy that comes and bangs a three, and you don't get that, you earn it. You earn the capacity to do that, and it was a great moment. It's, you have these all the times with super seniors, and I was really proud of Spence.
The two seniors who were honored that were playing tonight, Traden was also out there, but Spencer Johnson and Jackson Robinson combined for 31 points on this night as Jackson scored 17, and your bench does it again. BYU outscores Oklahoma State by 31 off the bench, 44-13 by your reserves tonight.
Yeah, and Jax was awesome, man. His force downhill, guys, you're seeing it before your eyes, right? It's just happening. It's such a regular cadence right now where his force and length is actually starting to have a huge impact at the rim, and it's a new dynamic for our team that's so important. And I thought he was brilliant tonight also.
Coach, senior night in your last game, regular conference game, it's a natural time to kind of reflect on this team. What a great, magical season. It's been an amazing preseason. Then you go into conference play, really impressive, all these neat experiences, Big 12, it's all. What do you think has been kind of the secret sauce for this team? What they've done well? And now as you look forward, what does this team need to do to be successful in these great tournaments that are coming their way?
I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a bunch of components that are helping us. The example I've kind of given throughout the night with the media is that, you know, probably the last 6 or 7 games, when we go into the locker room at halftime, the staff will meet and the players will meet. And the players have gotten this habit that I'm super proud of where they get up on the board. They're drawing stuff for each other. They're talking about every scenario they've seen in the game. And we're talking as a staff separately. We come as a staff. And basically every time all I'm doing is regurgitating things that they've already discussed and found answers to on their own. And if there's – you know, that's one of the secret sauces. That's part of the as you say, part of the cocktail, but that's not appropriate. It's part of the stew.
The melange.
The
milieu.
Yeah. Of this deal that I'm really proud of because these guys have worked so hard to learn and make it a part of themselves and take ownership of this team. And it's part of the reason why these guys are playing so well together.
Shout out to Oklahoma State for a second because you go up 25 in the second half, and this is a team that's locked into its seeding, locked into its matchup, and the season hasn't gone great. They're sitting there down 25, and they go on a 20-5 run to make it 10. Again, credit to a team that is like so many other Big 12 teams with so much spurt ability and the chance to keep it interesting.
Yeah, and you know, they have incredibly talented players. I mean, they got 2 McDonald All-Americans on the team that are young, and they have you know, the small is like an elite level dangerous point guard, and we saw what Keller did to us last time at their place, and it just is. It's this league, and it's why we love this league so much, why we're so grateful for this league, is every single night it's going to be an epic battle. And certainly, you know, we have a boatload of respect for this Oklahoma State team. You know, they're going to have a chance to make a run in the Big 12 tournament because every single team, 1 through 14, has a chance to win in advance in this tournament.
Okay, the coaches in their preseason poll had BYU 13th. And I just ran through where everyone finished.
Was that the coaches' poll?
It was the coaches.
Oh, I thought that was the media. I'm actually disappointed in the coaches.
The media don't get a poll. It's only coaches in this league. The only poll that comes out is a coaches poll.
Oh, so I've been blasting the media the whole time, and it's been the coaches.
Yeah, well, they're the ones that vote on this thing. We don't have anything to do with it.
Did I vote for us 13? What did I vote for us? I don't,
you know. You got to hopefully – Tyson, where's his ballot? Here's the deal, though. Of the preseason poll, one team finished where it was predicted to finish since he was predicted 11th, finished 11th. You were the biggest mover.
Yeah.
You go up to fifth. That's an eight-spot move. It's the biggest move of any team from the preseason poll to now. And it's just a reinforcement of how sometimes you just don't know, even though you think you might know what you got, until you've got it. And, again, there are a lot of reasons coaches might have thought BYU could be a 13th-place team. They could say, well, they were this or they were that the year before, and it's the same guys. But in a lot of ways, what they didn't see was the fact that because it was the same guys, you had the chance to build another year and get old together, which you did. And then you include someone that you said unlocks 30% more of your offense in Ali Khalifa, and you return a guy they didn't see last year in Trevanel, who was a part of this program.
For sure.
And those are two huge ingredients.
Well, and so, you know, I will say this, that, you know, I'm kind of joking about the coaches, but it's impossible to guess where teams are going to finish in this league, because you can play great basketball and lose six in a row. Like, it's just this league. That's going to happen to everybody in this league at some point from year to year. It just is like when you're playing the best teams in the country every single night, things can snowball super fast. You could even be playing great. And so I'm really proud of our guys because it just is – our guys have been on the hunt all year long, and we love being in the chase. And we'd be totally happy if they picked us 15th. There's only 14 teams in the league. That'd be fine with us too, just because, it helps make our locker room focus really, really internal. It has the capacity to do that, and our guys embrace that and continue to embrace it and have built this from the ground up. I'm really proud of our staff in the sense of, these guys put together a two-year plan, and it's hard for people to comprehend and understand that. And it's hard for a staff to have the courage to do that, but my staff did that, and I'm really proud of those guys. And we're excited, because we're just prayerful and hopeful and committed to playing a bunch more games, man. We want to play as many games as we possibly can.
Coach, you talked about Spencer's journey to get here a little bit, but what about Jackson on senior night? Honored him as a senior tonight, and I've loved his development. But what is it about Jackson that makes him a great teammate, a great player that we've seen this year?
Yeah, so, NTC, so those three guys. One of the concepts that we talk about in the gospel is enduring to the end. We talk about it all the time, enduring to the end. And Spence actually opened up he did our pregame speech today, our player pregame speech, and he kind of focused on that concept in his own words. And you talk about the crooked paths they've taken. You think about Jax. He started as a 16-and-a-half-year-old freshman at Texas A&M during COVID, if you can imagine, being totally isolated. And that went bad. And then transferred to Arkansas, and that was really tough. And then I joke with him all the time about finally he ended up at the school that he'd always dreamed about playing at BYU, but moved across the country away from his family, came to a place that was foreign that he didn't know, and just put a lot of faith in these teammates and this staff. And then last year wasn't easy, but he just kept pushing forward. And at every turn when obstacles were thrown his way, he just was like, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep trying to get humbler and keep trying to get hungrier. And then what he's ended up in year four is an epic season with a team that is actually better than his Texas A&M team or his Arkansas team right now, which is a beautiful poetic justice.
Do you have to note that to him, or does he know already?
No, he knows.
Okay.
He knows, trust me. And and a top 25 team, and a team that is a 5 seed in the toughest team in the country, and a team that's gone and won in places where nobody wins, and the way that he's helped us do it, and then his growth day from the day he got there to now you don't even recognize him as a player, guys. It's incredible. Almost don't even recognize him as a person about the way he's approaching leading this team. And, I mean, those three guys, just their stories, their crooked paths to success, and their relentless endure to the end kind of mantra, and to see it pay off the way that it's paying off right now. Could you find better ambassadors for BYU or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or anything else? I'm just so proud of these guys.
Let's take a short break, and we come back. We'll have Coach Pope help us look ahead to what's next for this BYU basketball team, because there's a lot of next stuff to talk about after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Game Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
All right, it's our closing segment for the regular season. Greg and Mark with Mark Pope, head coach of the Cougars, BYU Cream, your Cougar Postgame Coaches Show. Let's begin our final segment with the Economics Partners Valuable Stat of the Game, brought to you by Economics Partners. Whether for tax, financial reporting, or strategic purposes, when your business needs a valuation, the right partner is Economics Partners. Learn more at econpartners.com. Well, this was Oklahoma State's 31st game of the year. It's the only game this year in which a team made more than 10 threes against OSU. No one had made more than 10 until BYU's 12 tonight. So that's our Economics Partners Valuable Stat of the Game. And BYU with the win goes to 22-2 when they shoot better than 32% from the arc. And in the first half, that number was 4-for-19, so a little low, and then it got a little high after halftime. BYU went 8-for-12 from the arc after the break, and everything regresses to the mean, they say, and it did in a good way for BYU. And Coach Pope helped your team to an 85-71 win over Oklahoma State. So what it does is put you into the 5 seed in Kansas City, and your tournament run starts next Wednesday against either UCF or Oklahoma State. Your thoughts on that?
I can't wait, man. I suspect Kansas City is going to feel a lot like the Final Four feels, where you're going to have these incredible fan bases that all travel like crazy, all gathered together in Kansas City, and I can't wait to go feel it and see it and be in this great gym in this storied conference for a conference tournament. And it's just that place where it's, can you find a way to go win a game? And I feel like our guys are ready, and anything can happen, but we're going to come put our best product we can on the floor, and this is going
to
be awesome.
Okay, how do you plan to prep for a 10:30 a.m. body clock games on Wednesday, and if you win again on Thursday?
Yeah, so we'll take a afternoon flight out on Monday, and then we'll have a full day Tuesday. I'm hoping we can get an earlier practice time on Tuesday, just kind of simulate a little bit earlier start, and you have a full prep day, course Monday and Tuesday with travel on Monday, and then I get after it on Wednesday, and can't wait. It's just these tournaments, man, are just so special.
Now, normally for a 7 o'clock game, you're going to do a game day shoot 5 hours before at 2:00, but when you've had early games this year, you haven't had a game day shoot around, and with a game at 10:30 body clock, 11:30 central, same deal.
Well, it's interesting because we don't actually get to get in the gym, so. The only time we can get in the gym is early that morning. I think it might be a 7:30 a.m. shoot for just 20 minutes.
Do you take it?
So we're going to kind of discuss that, see how the guys see how we feel. The one thing that we know is that we've been in every gym, and we shoot great in every gym, and so I'm not overly worried about that. But that's kind of the only thing available to us, and we'll consider that here over the next 48 hours.
Spence did bring up your two-a-day schedule, so they've had some early morning floor time this year.
For sure, and that's not something we're unaccustomed to. You know, we're on the road. We had two back-to-back Saturday road games that were early that we'd like to have to come back. So that'll be a challenge for us. We'd like to respond better than we have there. But, these guys are – our guys have been through it all year long, and we understand the challenge we have in front of us, and we just can't wait to get to it.
Every time you face postseason, Coach, you want to be playing your best basketball and you want to be healthy. How do you feel about both of those things? Everybody pretty healthy right now, and – how do you feel about where this team's going?
Yeah, I mean, incredibly, we're the healthiest we've been all season by far. It's not even close. All three of them, we have a bunch of guys that are already scheduled for surgery immediately after the season. So we have our contingent of those guys, but they're – they're kind of hanging in there, and they're still super productive. And so, you know, we feel pretty good about that. We feel pretty good about the piece we have on the floor. I think the guys are feeling confident, and most importantly, I think the confidence comes from having answers and knowing that when things don't go exactly right, if we just hang in there, they'll get better. And I think our guys really have that vibe very much. And so, you know, sort of those are certainly qualities that you need to have in postseason to have a chance, and I think we have them.
No one should ever take for granted how early BYU got locked this year. The NCAA tournament is going to happen for BYU for the first time in 3 years. And again, it's such a hard tournament to get into. And the fact that you've been penciled in for so long is such a major, major accomplishment. How invigorating is that to know that Kansas City is a step to the next one that you already know you've got coming your way?
Yeah, we're in a really fortunate position to know that we have two tournaments coming up. There's a lot of teams right now, and we've been in this position
yes.
a lot in the past where it's kind of like we have this first tournament, and we don't actually know if we're going to get to see the second one. And it's a credit to what our guys have accomplished, how consistent they've been coming in every night in this league and competing at the level they have. Guys, I'm telling you, it's remarkable. And we've talked about this the last, you know, basically the entire season, right? Is that I just hope that we're all enjoying this moment in this process, because these guys are in rarefied air right now with what they're accomplishing and how they're doing it and the way they've grown into it over the last 2 years and how they're representing BYU. We move into postseason number one with unbelievable hope and commitment and faith, and then we'll do the same with postseason two.
That is all such happy news. The first thing you said when you sat down was you're sad because this is the last time we get to do it in this setting.
Yeah.
But before long, we'll be back courtside with a new group of the guys and a new set of goals next season. But this season rolls on and continues into some really fun venues ahead. And we've done this long enough to know that nothing really approaches the thrill of a college basketball season because of its rhythms and its phases and its paces and what it leads you to when you get to that 60-8 team bracket and see your name called, hear it called, and get to play. It's a special, special thing in the world of sports these days.
Yeah, and it's I'm telling you, you know, it is I don't know, man. It just is such a road to get to where these guys are right now. You know, if you think about it, if we just kind of recount, because we're here and we have some time, we can burn some time. You think about what these guys did here. So starting probably with the San Diego State game here that was so epic, where Dallin Hall just said, you know what, guys, I got you. Everything's going to be fine. And Fus Traore put up an unbelievable physical effort against one of the great players in college basketball this year. And these guys kind of did what nobody thought they could do, maybe for the first time of many times this year, and did that. And then you roll through kind of our non-conference slate here where guys were so consistent every single night about executing at an elite, extraordinary level and never taking their foot off the pedal. And putting up great numbers, and then setbacks.
And do you mind if I bring up one point? The Fus goes out and Ali comes in Las Vegas. That moment, that game, there was something going on there that night that was important.
No doubt. It was like, you know, we had no Atiki and no Fus, right, playing against North Carolina State. And it was just and Ali just stepped and said, hey, you know what? I'm ready, and let's go, and let me start working my magic. You think about the evolution of this team, right? We hadn't even seen, like, the 30% extra of our – we didn't know because we hadn't had him in practice. And so just, like, the way these guys have taken steps of growth throughout the season, and then, kind of like, you know, the whole Dawson Baker kind of finally weaving in and weaving out, and the injuries where the starting lineup changed, where, you know, Trev went down and Jax moved in and vice versa, and Noah, you know, losing Noah for several games because of concussions. And then you think about this Big 12 season, man, a really tough moment, losing our first Big 12 game against Cincinnati here. And, you know, everybody has been saying since the beginning of time, oh, these guys can't win in the Big 12. They can't win in the Big 12. And then you kind of look at the Houston game, which we thought we had in hand, and then beating Baylor here, which was such an epic game, and the TCU game here, which was such an epic second half comeback, and I'm probably missing 10 of the games that were in there. But this gym has been just magical for us this year, and I said it to start the broadcast, I'll say it to end, like, we're grateful. This place is really beautiful, and it's because of the people that fill it up.
Well, we look forward to talking to you post-game again a few more times, Coach. Thank you again for this season to this point, and we're so happy that it continues in some great places and great settings. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Let's go, Cougs.
All right, that is Mark Pope, and that will do it for tonight and for the regular season for BYU basketball. Yes, indeed, BYU wins 8 of its final 12 Big 12 games on the way to the postseason. Thank you, Coach. Grateful for Coach Mark Pope. And, again, more conversations hopefully to come with him as the Cougars move into postseason play. And what a year. Yeah, BYU was 2-4 in the Big 12 at one point, and then they went 8-4 to finish things out to get to where they are. 10 wins in this conference and a 5 seed. What great rewards.
Healthy, playing great basketball. I'm excited about the next couple of weeks. Let's go to Kansas City. BYU has as good a chance as anyone to win that tournament. Why not? But and then NCAA tournament is always so special. And I think BYU, I don't know what's going to happen, but they're more ready this year to play again, because they've already played the tournament-type teams for 2 months. They're ready, and they're not going to be surprised. And maybe they'll be in the Delta Center. Who knows? But, man, I'm just excited what this team has done. It's remarkable. And then I just get excited thinking about the next couple of weeks.
You know, and I don't want to cast a downbeat note on the last tournament experience, but it was a weird one, right? It was the COVID spring of 2021, and it was all held in Indiana. And, Mark, we walked around the downtown. It felt kind of Walking Dead weird, didn't it? It was a very strange vibe for that particular tournament. And again, the fact that it got staged, great, fantastic.
Because they didn't the year before.
No, there was no tournament the year before. And that would have been a tournament year for BYU, yeah. And there was no tournament. So the year after, the fact that BYU got in was great. And they were actually a favored seed and didn't play their best against UCLA. And it was kind of one and done. But it was in a spacious and quiet gym in the COVID era. It just was an unusual tournament experience and not the full experience you'd get, right? So it felt a little different. So this is the first time that BYU will get to an NCAA tournament without it being like a first four game and going into Dayton in years, years and years, in like a decade. Oregon in 2014 in Milwaukee was their last true NCAA tournament, not playing in the first four. It's been a decade, Mark. If you take away that Indiana COVID tournament as kind of a typical tournament, it's been 10 years since BYU's played in that typical NCAA tournament vibe experience. I'm looking forward to getting back to it.
Yeah, and long before that, it was almost every year that they were going for quite a while, and you maybe take it for granted. And I'm not going to take it for granted that it will be in the future, but I think this program's certainly going in the right direction, and success builds upon itself. So I think they have an amazing opportunity this year, but just being in the Big 12 is going to help them going forward in the future. We've seen the benefits already, and it's only going to get better. And as long as you got Mark Pope, who's I'm just so impressed with him. He's one of the best people you'll ever meet. And a tremendous coach. One of the things I like about Mark Pope is he's gotten better as a coach. The players have gotten better. He's gotten better. He's found out, what do I need to do? What's the approach that we need to take here? And just brilliant. I mean, it's a brilliant approach. And the success we're seeing, and so he's done a great job, and these guys deserve all the credit in the world. And so we'll see what happens going forward. I mean, a lot of crazy things can happen, but I love what I see from this team. They're a special team. They deserve every good thing they've got coming their way.
Well, I think, again, college basketball's postseason is special in the world of sports. It's not like the bowl game schedule in football. It's different. It's such a cherished destination is that 68-team field and bracket, and BYU's going to be there. But before then, yes, Kansas City. And who knows what awaits us there next week. We do know that our next time speaking with you will be next Wednesday morning, 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time pregame, 10:30 tip for BYU in either UCF or Oklahoma State. And BYU's postseason and Big 12 tournament run will be underway at the T-Mobile Center. So, Mark, I'm going to see you next Wednesday.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go in late Tuesday and be wide awake and ready to go. My body clock is going to be ready to do my best broadcast that early in the morning. I'm not going to have any letdown. I'm going to be ready to go.
We've been invited to our first ever Big 12 play-by-play dinner on Tuesday night. I'm going to be there, and I'm still thinking there's a way you can change your time to get there with me. But right now, I'm going to be solo, enjoying the hospitality of our broadcasting brethren of the Big 12. By the way, what a cool group we've been part of this year.
The best. I mean, so professional, so helpful. Everybody coming to say hi. And driving us to our car after. I mean, it's just been so refreshing. Everybody is so professional and kind and good in this league, and I just feel like BYU's home in this league. And you want to make whatever jokes you want, truck stop, leave, whatever. There's some great, great people at the heart of America, and it's fun to be a part of it.
Well, I'll represent you on Tuesday night. We'll miss you, and I'll see you Wednesday bright and early as we get this tournament run underway. So that will do it. Mark, see you there.
All right, brother.
Okay, that's Mark Durant. My name is Greg Wrubell. Our thanks to the rest of the crew back at BYU Radio, Ethan Arkell and Maya Tippetts, the control board operators, Terry South, our always great coordinating producer, Ben Bagley as our studio host, Barry Squires, the engineer. Our appreciation goes out to Brian Holmgren, Oklahoma State's Director of Basketball Communications. We appreciate Brian's help in setting up our pregame interview with Coach Mike Boynton and, of course, our right-hand man and sometime color commentator, Tyson Jex, BYU Basketball Communications Director. Thanks, as always, to Tyson. We spoke with Mark Pope pre- and post-game. Tyson got a Spencer Johnson for post-game. And we thank Kirsten Meredith. Kirsten went and got the recorded comments of Coach Boynton post-game as well. So Kirsten's always great to get the recorder and get that for us to get it on the air to you. So for all of those folks, my name is Greg Wrubell, reminding you that our final score tonight is BYU 85 and Oklahoma State 71. BYU finishes with a 10-8 Big 12 mark, a 22-9 regular season, and the 5 seed at the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, which begins next Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time pregame with Jason Shepherd and 10:30 tip for BYU and either OSU or UCF. So, that'll do it. I am Greg Wrubell saying, in the meantime and in between time, this has been BYU Basketball on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Good night and so long from Provo, Utah.
You've been listening to BYU Basketball on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Coverage of today's game has been brought to you by All Pro Capital, Real Estate Investments, by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Brought to you by Ken Garf, We Hear You, and by Smith's Food and Drug, proud partner of BYU Athletics. BYU Basketball is a production of BYU Athletics in association with BYU Broadcasting. Special thanks to BYU President Shane Reese, Vice President Keith Vorkink, Athletic Director Tom Holmo, and Associate Athletic Director of Corporate Sponsorships, Casey Stauffer. BYU Basketball is an exclusive presentation of the new skin, BYU Sports Network.